All I can tell you is let the battle begin.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's God against cancer. Guess who's going to win? Amen. Let the battle begin. Bring it on. You know, we hate to go through these things, but I'm thankful we've got a God that gives us faith that we can trust Him regardless of what's going on or what's taking place in life. Just let the battle begin. Praise the Lord. Let's see who the winner is. I'm going to predict it. God will win. Amen. Can't overpower Him. Good to see everybody come this way. I'm still fired up. You know, we're talking about this celebration and of life and that we've been doing. This is the third year. And when I got to hearing about the young men getting saved down to jail, I thought that truly was a celebration of life. Now, I bet you there's some folks this morning got something to celebrate, hadn't it? And I thought about, you know, the excitement that they had. But, you know, it had a major effect on my family when I got saved. You know, a lot of them was, I guess, astonished. Some of them were shocked. But they were all, I guess, excited to know that my life had changed. And I thought about celebration of life. I hope there's families all over this county and all over this community that's excited, that's in church somewhere this morning. Hopefully tell them, say, y'all know my son got saved down there yesterday. You know, because it makes a difference, don't it? Well, good to see everybody. I want to share some verses of Scripture with you. I had thoughts on mine. I don't know how y'all are, but a lot of people, if I want you to think about this. If they had enough closet space, you know, if I had enough closet space, some of my clothes that's went out of style 10 or 15 years ago, I could keep them a little bit longer and they'd come back in style. Y'all ever notice that? That the styles, you know, they go out for a while and then they bring them back. And I think that's to sell new stuff, part of it. But when I got thinking about the styles and the things that have already happened before, I want to share with you some of the Word of God. Now, I'm going to wind up today probably in Jeremiah. I'm not going to get there yet. I want to start in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We're going to think about things today that already have been that are again. I want you to think about that. Things that already has been and are again. In other words, it's a revolving thing and the world continues turning and generation after generation. But some of the things, you know, that people will say, well, that's different or that's new. Not really. It's already happened before. So let's look at this very quickly this morning in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Now, think about things coming back in style and things that's already happened. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. What profit had a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passes away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also riseth, and the sun goeth down, and hastens to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turn about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full unto the place from hence the rivers come. Thither they return again. And all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath already had been already of old time, which was before us. So we get the indication that things that was at one time are again and happening again. Now, when we start covering this, I want us to have the illustration and the knowledge, knowing that a lot of the things that happened in Old Testament time to the children of God are coming again to us right now, at this day and time. We're going to cover some of those things. And I want you to consider about what it said, the thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Now, when we continue in this scripture, I want you to understand that time after time, God's chosen children would step out of line, they'd quit worshiping, they'd quit praising Him, and God would allow them to be overrun by some enemy. And I want to warn you today that we're on that same verge and on that same pattern here in this United States, that we may be overrun by some enemy. I want you to consider this fact. You know, I know the talk. I hear the situation on the news. They talk about ISIS and the damage they're doing and the sneak attacks they come into our country to do. And as much as I'm concerned about that, I'm more concerned about the devil. That's our enemy. That's our major foe in life is the devil. And I'm telling you, he's winning a battle here in the United States without ever firing a shot. He's changing minds of people, turning them away from God to put men and men and women together and trying to convince us that that's okay. I'm telling you, this is of old time. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for the same thing. For the very same thing. And so what has already been, it said will happen again. So we need to be warned today about the direction that our country and our world is traveling in. I'm telling you, Satan will take it never fire a shot. By convincing us that it's right. We've got to stay firm in this Word of God. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. I don't care what government says. I don't care what anybody says. When God says it's right, it's right. When God said it's wrong, it's wrong. And that's the Word of God we're going to adhere to at New Salem Baptist Church, that we may know and understand and be warned today. Take the warning. It starts talking about times. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Now, every time I read this and start thinking about time, you know, I hear a lot of people say, well, let's put that off, let's delay it, let's do it a little bit later. Well, God's got a set thing, a time for us to do things in life. And once we pass that schedule of God, I'm telling you, he'll allow the devil to come in and he might persuade us to never do it. And so when we start talking about these times, it says there's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And so we start talking about the timing of God. I'm telling you, people, it's time that we wake up and open our eyes and understand that enemy that's going to overtake us is inside of it. It's coming out. It's going to fall from inside out. I'm not really worried about some other nation coming over dominating us. I'm telling you, we're going to do it ourselves. We don't need their help. We're falling inside out as a nation. Mark it down. In the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 1, Jeremiah was never popular. You know, I've read through this Bible two or three times, and I never did find where Jeremiah was anybody's favorite person. You know it? I guess his mama loved him. I sure hope his mama loved him, because nobody else really did. And you know why they didn't love Jeremiah? Because he told the truth. Because he spoke to them what God spoke to him. And so he didn't water it down and he didn't weaken it. If God told him, he told them. And so nobody liked him because he predicted gloom and doom upon the Jerusalem because of the way they had traveled in life and the way they had turned away from God. God sent him down. He said, you go warn them. You let them know. Now you think about, we just read, things that were are going to be again. I mean, we're in a cycle, we're in a rotation, and God allowed Jerusalem to be overcome by the Babylonians, allowed an enemy to come in and just wipe them out and destroy them and overtake them. And I thought about that enemy that we face. I'm not worried about Babylonians, I'm worried about Satan. I'm telling you that we're allowing him the power and setting him in a place, and he's starting to be worshiped and praised instead of God, and that's where I think we're going to fall inside out. So Jeremiah went down and he told them, I'm telling you, he said, this is what God said, this is what I tell you. Nobody liked him. He didn't win a popularity contest. But he will one day. God will tell him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen. Now, that's the one that he'll hear one day. And I got thinking about Jeremiah's example that should be inspiring us this day and time, that we're understanding and knowing and having knowledge of the Word of God. We're not controlled by the news. We're not always controlled about what they say because they lie. I'll just tell you very plain, they lie. God don't. We need to be controlled by God and what He's saying and what's going on in that life. And Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4, it said, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Now, so many times, people try to disqualify themselves from doing what God asks them to do. You know, a very simple thing, that God asks us to do something and we'll try to disqualify ourselves. Jeremiah sought to disqualify himself. He said, I'm just a child. I can't do this. But God's not going to allow that. God knew his age. God knew about his youth. God knew about his ability. Just as God knows everyone sitting here in this house today, God knows your ability. God knows what he's planned for you to do. And so let's don't be trying to disqualify ourselves for some little trivial thing in life. God don't care about age. From the oldest to the youngest, God could use you. And so Jeremiah goes on in verse 7. He said, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. I want you to notice that God set the limits for Jeremiah to go where he sent him. And I wondered, you know, many times. I know that God didn't send him to everybody, but the ones that he sent him to. And it was specifically his responsibility to go tell them what God said. Now, God was telling them, he said, because you've turned away from me, the enemy, the Babylonians are going to come in. They're going to overrun you. It's going to happen. And so it goes on in verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And so we begin hearing the word of God. This is not Jeremiah's idea or not his opinion. This is the word of God that he's going down preaching and teaching this nation. He said, this is what's going to happen. You're going to have to face this enemy. There's problems coming. In verse 10, it says, see, I have set this day thee over nations and over kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Now, he's warning Israel. He's warning Jerusalem that there's an enemy coming, that it's going to overcome, it's going to overtake, it's going to dominate them, and he begins warning them of what's happened. This has already happened. And remember what we read earlier about those things that were are going to be again? We need to be warned and protecting and looking ourselves about what's going on around us and in our nation and in our world. It's tearing down the worship and praise of God. It's taking us, our focus away from the cross of Calvary, which the Lord died on, and trying to focus it on something else. When we start believing the way the world does, we're going to kill ourselves off. The enemy's here. Enemy's right here. It's in our minds. It's in our hearts. In so many aspects of other aspects of life. And so when we start talking about this thing, we need to understand, Jeremiah was not popular. Jeremiah was not well-liked. And although at the chance of us not being well-liked or popular, we need to tell the truth. And this is the truth from God. This is where it comes from. I think oftentimes, and I got excited about the young men down there yesterday professing Jesus Christ as Savior. And I tell you what, it's good to know God's still in the saving business, isn't it? Huh? Now, I'm not trying to claim any credit at all, but I was thrilled to death this morning when somebody said, they heard what you said. Because sometimes I wonder, praise the Lord. Let's look over Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Let's talk about focusing on the power of God to control our actions, our deeds. If there's one thing that I pray for this church more than anything else, it's that we be in God's will. I tell you what, a church in God's will cannot be defeated. A church in God's will. Somebody asked me a while back, you know, they're talking about attendance. I said, don't worry about it. I don't even get concerned about it. As long as the church is in God's will, He'll take care of that, right? It's when you get out of the will of God. That's when I begin worrying about it, and that's when I'd get concerned, you know, if you're not in the will of God. So as long as we pray and we stay in God's will, and I believe His will is that we show up, we worship, we praise Him, we teach, we preach, we sing about God's Word, the Holy Word of God, and hold to that with a surety. I mean, not straying from side to side or not wavering on it, that we're content and satisfied to know that as long as we're in this Word of God and we're pleasing God, I don't care what the world thinks. I just don't really care, do y'all? Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord. Who said this? Thus saith the Lord. You know, a lot of people get this misunderstood. They'll say Jeremiah. No, thus saith the Lord. Jeremiah might have repeated it or brought the message, but thus saith the Lord. It said, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. And so when we start talking about cursed be the man that his flesh is his arm and whose heart departed from the Lord, we start thinking about when we start trusting in ourselves, in our own ability, and turning away from God. I'm telling you, God is the one that controls. God is the one that takes care of us. God took care of some things in my life yesterday, probably, that I don't even know about. I met about 20 cars, one going this way and one going that way. None of them hit me. Praise the Lord. I mean, you know, that's a thought, isn't it? That God separated us yesterday. He saved me from a sure death. I mean, if I'm running 55 this way and somebody's running 85 that way, because I don't speed much. No, I'm serious. I don't speed much. God's Word tells us to obey the laws of the land. If that speed limit's marked 55 and I'm going 85, I've sinned. Little things. We don't look at them little things. Little things, what gets us? Little things, that's what can sneak under the fence and eat your crop. Amen. You know, we put up big fence, keep the deer and the big animals out, but these little things, they sneak into the cracks and they come through under the fence and they'll eat your crop just the same as the deer will. Y'all will figure that out in about 30 minutes. Maybe. In about a little while. In verse 6 it said, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land that is not inhabited. Blessed is a man who that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. And so we start talking about from cursed to blessed. If you came in here this morning, what did you rather be this morning? You'd rather be cursed of God or blessed of God? Anybody in their right mind is going to answer blessed, right? Now, it takes some kind of foolish person to say, no, I want to be cursed of God. Now, when he tells us about the difference in what happened, about being cursed and about being blessed, I thought so many times in my life, I want the blessings of God. I don't want on that curse list. I'm telling you, that's not a good list to be on. And it gives us these indications. So when we start talking about things that were and things that are going to be again, we're warned that God allowed Jerusalem to be overrun by the Babylonians. The enemy came in and destroyed it and took it over. I'm telling you, what was then can be again. It wouldn't be something new, would it? The enemy's changed, but it's still the same plan. And we need to be considerate of these things. And blessed is a man. And in verse 8, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat come. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So we start looking at example. When I talk about the enemy coming in and overruling, the enemy coming in and taking over and being dominant. Guess what? I've got a hope through this that those that are cursed and going to have part of that, I'm on the blessed side because I've trusted God and His power and His ability to deliver me from those things. I guess I could say God has exempted me from a lot of the problems, a lot of troubles to come. Now, we're still in the world, don't misunderstand, and there's not everything going to be pleasing to us, but I also want you to know that God delivers us from a lot of things that could be happening in our life. Let's go just a little bit farther. Jeremiah chapter 18. Let's talk about change. Let's talk about change just for a little bit. I have to coach myself on this change thing. I'm a creature of habit. And most of y'all are a creature of habit. I can go through and tell you within 2 minutes of what time all y'all going to be here next Sunday. Because you're a creature of habit. Oh yeah, I notice things like that. I notice a few little things like that. Joyce and Jim come in between 25 till and 20 till every week that the world turns. Praise the Lord. I could go open the door for them. And a lot of y'all come in at certain times. Some of you 5 minutes late. And I know that too. Well, I mean, we're creatures of habit. Right? We're creatures of habit. We get on a schedule. We get on a routine. And that's what we do. And I'm a creature of habit. I do nearly the same thing every morning. You know, I've got kind of a routine that I go through. And we get so set in these habits and we get so used to things being the same all the time that sometimes change is hard for us. You let my wife move my recliner, I'm upset. It's got its spot in that floor down there. Ain't no use wearing out two spots, are they? Keep it in the same place. Keep it in the same place. I'm not finished yet. I'm getting there. Now, we're talking about these things, you know, and how hard it is to change, how hard it is that we make a difference in our life. I know people that go through the same trouble day after day after day because they're not willing to try to change something and make it different in their life. You got a hard day going on today. You got a problem going on today. Change something before tomorrow. And you know, and I see that, but it's hard for us to change. So down in Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 1, it said, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord say, okay, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." So here's what Jeremiah does. "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, say, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the day clay is in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel." Now, we're grafted into the house of Israel, and I got thinking about that there's times in life we need to allow the hands of God to be upon us, that it change, reshape, and remold what we were once was. That if that vessel had been marked. I thought about yesterday where we're hearing about the inmates getting saved. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about they've been on the potter's wheel. The hand of God touched them. The hand of God started remolding and reshaping and remaking. And there's a lot of times in our life that we need this very thing, that we're not prepared to handle. I'm telling you, this vessel of clay can't stand through the storm that's going to come in life. So there's times when it's marred, when it's messed up, we need to go back to God and be in the hands of God that He can reshape us and remold and remake. I think there's a great need for that every day that we arise, that we're in the hands of God to make us what He wants us to be, not what we want to be. Let's have a verse of song. We're going to close that. You remember, what has been will be again, according to the Word of God. Y'all stand. Anybody that needs remade, God will remake you this morning. It'll start through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's where it'll start, by faith and confession in Him that He's the Son of God, died on the cross of Calvary, died for the sins of the world. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That's where you start. And then you allow yourself to be molded and shaped by God on what He'd have you to be. You may like yourself. You may not. I don't know. But if it's not what God wants you to be, you need remade. Verse of song. Anybody need to come pray? Come on up. Good to see everybody come this way. Like I said, we're going to meet down at the fellowship hall tonight. Going to have a party. And come to expect to enjoy yourself. If you got graduation gifts for these boys, bring them tonight. We'll get them to them. And we're going to have a collection jar down there. Anybody can put what they want in it and the cards or however you want to do it. Okay? So I look forward to all of you coming out tonight and being with us. If you can't come, pray for us. Pray for us. Had a special request yesterday from Levi. He said, remind the church, keep praying for me. He's reported this morning about 11 o'clock to the U.S. Army. He'll be theirs in the morning, going to swear him in the morning. So anyway, good to see everybody. Any word before we go? Amen. Like that. Do you hear that, Teresa? Huh? Okay. Okay. We'll tell her. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for the day you blessed us with and the time you've given us to come that we worship and praise you. We thank you, God, for warnings in our life to give us an understanding of things that are going to come to pass. God, we thank you for giving us an opportunity that through your grace and through your blood that we can avoid some of these problems and some of these snares and pitfalls in life. God, we thank you for that, being a God that guides us and directs us in the right path. Just continue to be with our church. Help us to continue to grow and increase in number and faith and love and dedication. God, we give you praise for what you've already done and all the promises that you've given. Be with each one in attendance here today. Bless them with a good day. In Jesus' name, amen.